Welcome to the Drunk Guys Book Club, where books aren't just for school, where book clubs aren't just for women, and too much beer gives us the runs from battle.
I'm Mike.
I'm Nate.
I'm Jimmy.
And we're the Drunk Guys. And this week we have the courage to have a red shirt as we read The Red Heart of Courage by Stephen Crane. Isn't his name like Stephen Hart Crane?
Stephen Fraser Crane.
Is it? No, I hate you so much. It is. I want to believe it's Hart. So then his initial, it could be Shirt Crane, but I could be imagining that. Okay. We're reading The Red Badge of Courage. And who's starting with a beer? Nate, you got a beer?
I'll start with a beer. Yeah, sure. Okay. So this book is about the Civil War, and most of the Civil War happened in the South. So this is called Southern Sunset by Resident Culture.
Oh, I've been there. Yeah. It's in like North Carolina, right?
Is it?
It is
all
now.
All I know is this is a IPA. No, actually, I don't even know what it is. It's just 7.1% alcohol. It's just a beer. I think they're going for IPA.
IPA, American style beer.
Mm. Definitely going for IPA. Anyway, yep, most of the Civil War happened in the South, so this doesn't say where it happened, but it was probably the South. That's why it was called the War of Northern Aggression.
Mm, true.
Well, yeah, it really wasn't about slavery. So it was about states' rights.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah.
States' rights to have slaves.
Well, at least one certain right. Yeah.
So this book came out in 1895 and has been bothering high school students ever since.
Since 1896.
and fuck it. Jesus, this is like the third time
he wrote it at the age of 24 or something, and everyone was like, wow, he must have been in the war. Like, he was born years after it ended.
Yeah, and then he died. Did you see,
it said, like, he wrote it, I come from a family line of fighters, so it's just good at writing it because of genetics. It's like, that is the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard.
He was from New Jersey. He's from Newark, actually. They might do some fighting there now.
Different
but,
kind.
Yeah. But he died like 5 minutes after this came out. I don't think he made it to 30, this guy.
No, he's 28.
28.
Got the old TB, the thing that killed off almost everyone for about 300 years.
Well, was that or syphilis?
Yeah. Well, the syphilis killed people who lived through tuberculosis.
Why not both?
It's like
syphilis got tuberculosis.
It's like and no sex in the champagne room. It's like, here's a horoscope for everybody. Gemini, you're going to die. Scorpio, you're going to die fucking.
Like Gemini was you're going to die twice.
Oh, you're going to die twice, right, yeah. So, yeah. So fuck this guy. Look at the picture of him. I can't believe he sat for this formal portrait, and he's like, let me look like a fucking barbershop quartet guy. And they had not invented those yet. What a trendsetter.
That man was in his mid-20s.
He looks like a 48-year-old serial killer, and he has been serially killing fucking
He looks
fun.
Like Daniel Day-Lewis in The Gangs of New York.
Oh, his hair, yeah. That's never been washed.
Bill the Butcher.
It's disgusting. It's like plastered onto his head.
And they didn't have wax back then, so no.
You could smell him coming into the room. Okay, so Red Badge of Courage, which was the working title for Are You There, God, It's Me, Margaret, and it is...
There you go.
There you go. I told you I'd get in there. It's a book about the Civil War, and
but only the parts that no one knows about and didn't seem to affect anything else.
And battles he made up.
Yeah, conveniently didn't get into what was the war about. And
well, it's not about that.
It's
about the individual's experience in the war. You see, the one that he definitely was in.
He was born in 1871. Yeah. The main character, who I think you only realize like halfway through what his name is, because he just calls him the Youth most of the time, is Henry Fleming, and he is from New York, I think, right?
Yeah, he's in the New York's 304th Battalion or something.
Regiment, maybe?
One of those.
And he's like, I want to go fight in the war, because that's how you get glory and shit, and be cool.
We're all about those glorious holes.
It's a different type of going south. And his mother's like, I need to sit here and just take care of this brindle cow that, and just keep saying brindle until you leave, because it says the word brindle like a night. This word had a couple. This book had a couple of words that he says relentlessly. Brindle cow, presently, meaning soon, which is what the word really means, and everybody just fucking uses it wrong today. And ejaculate.
It did.
Like, I want to presently ejaculate on that brindle cow. But
he's a very lonely farm boy.
There's a lot of ejaculating in this book. Because at some point that meant shout, you know, that thing you do sometimes when you ejaculate.
Shout, shout, let it all out.
Yeah. You're like, ah, my cummies. No, he's ejaculating.
These are the cums I can do without.
Those are a different kind of tears for fears. Milky ones. So he's like, I'm going to join the war because that's going to be so cool. And the mother's like, all right, here's like 9 pairs of socks and a jam jar. Get lost. I got to get back to milking cows. That's literally our conversation.
So as crazy as dumb as this is actually kind of accurate. I mean, remember how much of most of America were just farmers and how fucking boring and yet also hard work that was. So like a lot of people are just like, this is the one exciting thing that's going to happen in my lifetime. So I'm going to go do it. And in fact, my quick story, my tiny little town that I grew up in rural New Hampshire in 1860 had a population of about 700. They were all farmers. 200 men joined the Union Army in 1861.
That's how much had to they have hated been like, black people.
Which, but if you think about it, that had to have been like all of them. Like in a population, what percent are like young men who are men who are not too young or too old to like join the army? That had to have been like all of them.
Yeah.
And it's because life is so fucking boring and this is the one exciting thing that's ever going to happen. So they went and did it.
And there's also this, you know, mythology around, like, this is what men do. Going to war makes you a true man. You know, if you never do that, then what the fuck are you?
Yeah, it's a propaganda that they fell for about, oh, this is glorious. Whereas really...
We need more bodies to throw this meat grinder.
Yeah, really. So really, the Civil War was brutal and relentless.
In that time, more soldiers died of, like, dysentery than died on the battlefield. So that's really what you're signing up for.
To be fair, a good amount of them would have died from just the dysentery they got from drinking all that raw milk on their farms. But yeah.
Okay, I guess you're in the pocket of big milk.
Yes, that raw milk dysentery is a real threat. Do you know, I was at a supermarket and they had, I swear to God, I took a picture of it. I was going there and like I have children who drink a tremendous amount of milk, which is fucking irritating because I can't buy the same one. So I have to buy a whole milk for one of these little bastards and then 2% for the other one. And I took a picture of this and I don't know what this shit says, but it's Amul Gold 6% milk. What the?
That's 6%. That's too much percent.
6% fat. I don't know how the fat percent works on milk. It also has something
that was never an option.
It is some sort of other script I don't recognize that looks kind of, I don't know, Sanskritish to me, but I really don't know what that script is. What the fuck is 6% milk?
They skipped a few in the middle there.
I remember when we were in high school once, Jimmy. Do you remember this when they, for a hot second, they had strawberry and vanilla milk in addition to chocolate milk?
Yeah.
And I remember seeing like, wait, there's like more colors.
You get that from brindle cows.
And I was like, wait a second. Did somebody finally crack the code on 3% milk? Like,
so apparently I just Googled what percent is whole milk, and it's 3.25.
So this is like somewhere between whole milk and half and half. This is like quarter and three quarters. So
it's a gallon of heavy cream.
Heavy cream is like 50%. Heavy cream is just horrible. Just the lard juice.
Mm. Anyway.
Eating raw 6%, drinking raw 6% milk will give you the runs.
So it's according to half and half is a dairy product that is a mixture of equal parts whole milk and light cream. And okay, but
what about dark cream?
What is light cream if not, what percent is light cream? That's the thing.
This is big dairy just trying to fucking pull the wool over our eyes. As they give us varying amounts of cow cum
between light cream is between 18% and 30%, even though that's like plus or minus 50%
milk. They're all somewhere on the milk spectrum.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely so on 6%, the milk spectrum.
So mix, so 6% is halfway between, yeah. Whole milk and half and half.
I couldn't bring myself to buy it because I wouldn't know what to do with that.
Do I give more or less of this milk?
Where's skim milk? What is skim milk zero?
That's where you keep the skin on.
I hate you. So anyway, yeah, you're right. Being a farmer was terribly boring, and some young, stupid men were like, you know what would be better than living on this farm? Dying.
Also, they just forced a lot of people to do it. So,
well, yeah, they were like
that came later. That was in 1863.
Yeah, when they had the riots in New York City. Did you ever read the fuck is that book? This Republic of Suffering by Drew Gilpin Faust. She was the president of Harvard at one point. It's all like a history of like the how like the Civil War. A big part of it is the concept of like the good death, you know, like dying a noble death and these guys,
Lieutenant Dan lifestyle.
Kind of, yeah. Like these guys being fucking wounded and they're like sawing off their limbs and they're saying like, don't cry out, that's for pussies. That's what counted as an analgesic or whatever. And they're like, just tell my wife I didn't die like a pussy. And like that's all they cared about. And like Walt Whitman's there writing poems and shit. Like it was a fucking horrific war. 600,000+ dudes died in probably the first technologically modern war, if you think about like the rifles and Gatling guns and stuff like that. Like the scale of death and bodily destruction was theretofore unseen.
It was the most expensive, single most expensive, and I think the single deadliest war of all time up to that point. World War One, and then like quadrupled it, but... You know, and if you count all of the Napoleonic Wars together, that was bigger than the American Civil War. But each individual Napoleonic War was smaller.
Or like the 30 Years' War in the 1600s, that killed a lot of people.
Yeah, but those are armies of like 3,000 versus 6,000, you know.
Oh, yeah, they just did a lot of it for 30 years. It adds up.
You're not going to get 50,000 dead in one day. Like in the Civil War.
On the Battle of Manasses. 50,000 manasses in one day. Good time. So Henry Fleming joins the war, and his mom was like, good, have some socks. Which Lieutenant Dan was concerned about, actually. And then he goes...
He only needed half of as many. Or none. He needed none.
Well, that was like before he loses a leg. He has a speech in the movie where it's, every time we stop, change your socks. So he goes, and he's like, I'm going to go fight in the war. And everyone's like, cool. War is awesome. And he's like, yeah, it is. And then they have their battle, their first battle.
But first they spend a lot of time just walking around and getting nowhere and doing nothing. And he's like, this kind of sucks.
That part is probably accurate.
Probably very accurate, yeah.
Yeah. Takes a while to get places by foot.
If you're in the army, how many days of your like, you know, 3-year military service are spent actually engaging in battle? 2? You know? Yeah. 5? And you've got like 700 days of just sitting around and or marching.
As your shoes disintegrate.
As you shit yourself to death.
And you're wearing a wool uniform. Holy shit.
In July in South Carolina. Yeah.
You're going to be schwitzy.
They didn't let shoes in. So they, walking around, and like, this is, finally the battle comes. And I feel like, I forget who now, was it him or someone was like, this battle's not going to, we're going to get our asses whooped. We're like going into like a bottleneck or something. Like we're going to get surrounded. And this is still when the point of war was take the field. I don't know why that's how war functioned, but it's like if you...
It's take the field to get around the side. You want to get around the side of the line.
But like you want to like scatter them. You want to like make the other side run away and break their line. And then you could be like, aha, victory is ours, forsooth. Give my regards to the general, and that's
so
what
you
they
could
did
take the high ground and stuff.
That's Star Wars Episode 3, yeah. And so they have this fight, and Henry's like, "This looks bad. We are going to get our shit pushed in." And as soon as the fighting's starting, he pussies out and runs.
Not quite. It wasn't first. First, he like, this is my first battle. Oh my God. So they like line up and they're defending a ridge and they like win. And it's like, oh my God, that was great. Oh,
he's like, yeah,
and he immediately says, like, I proved myself a man. I didn't break. And then 5 minutes later, oh shit, they're coming again. And then this time, other dudes run, and so does he. And so now he's been afraid this whole time. Will I be brave enough? And he chickens out at the second opportunity.
Better than the first.
That's better than I would do. I would have chickened out at the first. I'm not gonna lie. Everyone like looks at history and they're like, I would have been the brave person. Like, I know, I would have been a pussy then. I'm like, you keep those people of color. I don't care. I'm going back to the brindle cow. Brindle cow. Which doesn't mean these cats are two different colors. It's the most progressive part of the book.
True.
It's a mixed race cow.
Yeah, know? Yeah. It's the mulattoes. Thank you.
So he runs, and then eventually he's like, I guess I should go back, because I gotta. And then when he's going back, he runs into people who are...
I don't know if I have to cut that or
no,
not.
No, that's gold.
I think it's okay, technically. He's talking about a cow, so it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it's their word. Soft moo.
So he's going back, and then he comes across a bunch of people who are running away again. And one of the guys is like, who's that? And he smacks him in the head with his gun. He's like, oh, shit. And he's like, oh, no. And now he's bleeding everywhere. And he goes back and he finds his guy's like, oh, man, looks like you got shot in the head, bro. He's like, yeah, totally got shot in the head. Good thing I'm okay.
Oh, you're skipping over like 9 chapters, though.
But each chapter's 4 pages.
As you should. But there's 9 chapters where he's like, first he sees a dead guy. He's like, well, that guy fucking died. There's ants eating his face and shit. This is gross.
Turns out war sucks. I was totally wrong.
This is horrendous. I would give my left nut to just be back on that farm right now.
Fucking that cow again.
And then he sees the fuck. And then there's another guy who's called the Tattered Soldier. He's like, oh, you got hurt? Where'd you get hurt? And he's like, what? Hurt? Yeah, bad hurt? I fought. I'm not a pussy. And he's like, yeah, I got hurt too. Where are you wounded? And then Henry, what the fuck his name is, he's just like ashamed. He's like, oh, I'm such a big puss. I suck at war. And he's going to spend the next 7/8 of the book be like, oh, I'm a bitch. I am a huge bitch. And then at some point, someone's like, what did you, he's like, I have to start lying about my wound. I'm going to start lying. He's like, oh, I got shot in the head. And they're like, really? He's like, yeah, this. Yeah, this is a big little thing. This is.
I got better.
I got, yeah. It's already on the mend, which is fucking ridiculous because, like, another guy's like, oh, shit, you got shot in the head. Have my sleeping bag. Put this poultice on your head. And then the next morning, he's like, I don't think it healed enough. It's been 9 hours. Got shot in the head.
The other guy was like, oh, you know, you get grazed sometimes, you get hit by something, and, you know, sometimes it gets real hot, and you just get real, real sick. No way to know what's going to happen. Good luck, kid.
Well, there is absolutely no antibiotics or anything. So, yeah, most of them died of a fucking infection.
Of anything.
Yeah.
But anyway, this is Big Little Thing IPA from Sierra Nevada, which is a hazy imperial IPA, which a hazy empire is what the South was hoping to create in the South there if they would have... You know, I forgot what was it called. Like there was talk at some point during the Civil War of creating like a Pacific, not Pacific, like a not Pacific. What the fuck is that? What's that body of water? The Atlantic, the Gulf of America, the Gulf of Mexico. They wanted to like take over all of that part of Central America as like a slave empire. Have you heard about this?
Totally not about slavery though.
Well, they wanted to give those states the rights that they deserved to be part of the slave empire.
The right to never be allowed to not have slaves.
Did you ever see that fake documentary, The Confederate States of America?
I heard about it. I don't think I saw it.
It's really funny. It's from about 20 years ago now, I guess. And it's meant to look like a History Channel documentary of like how the South won the Civil War and what happened afterwards. And it has commercials throughout it for like LoJack for your slave. And shit like that because it's in the modern era. And some of them are just like, they're like real products or until very recently real products like, I forget what the name of it was. So there was like a Japanese toothpaste that was like,
I know this one.
It's called like Black Man toothpaste or something like that. Darley is what it's called. And it's got like a fucking minstrel guy as the icon.
Yeah.
And they have like fake commercials. It's a funny hysterical mockumentary, but they was after the war, according to the documentary, the South continued extending its empire and kind of took over the whole like rim of Mexico there and like Cuba, which I think was the last country in our hemisphere to get rid of slavery, either them or Brazil. They're the only two that took longer than us. And the Caribbean, and they create this like slave empire. Anyway, this is a great beer. Nothing to do with slavery. It's family owned. It says on the can. Speaking of states' rights, if you want to support this podcast, it's your right to do so. Head over to patreon.com/drunkguysbookclub where you could become a patron. You could also help us out by leaving a review wherever you are listening, or leave a comment, or shout our name into a, you know, like an open exhaust pipe you see on the side of a building. Maybe like people think it's a
spooky ghost. Shout it at a Confederate statue.
Yeah. You don't tear them down. Just use them as means to promote our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That can't backfire.
Nope.
So then, you know, he's like, I am a little man bitch, but I'm going to pretend I was hurt. And everyone is so nice. And they keep saying for like four chapters, man, our whole fucking regiment, we thought everyone died, but they all just keep coming back. So he has this convenient cover where just it was the chaos of war. Nobody's really questioning him on why did you run away? They're just more
also
like,
oh, he finds out that they won and they didn't actually lose. So he's like, oh yeah, things got a little wild, but you know, we all helped out in that fight that we just did.
Take that, Rebs. And
so
the end.
Pretending to have been wounded gives him courage, because when he comes back and isn't dead after the guy, like, you know, hit him in the head with the butt of his rifle. You know, I didn't exactly understand why that happened, but like, whatever.
He thought he was like another soldier, like a bad guy. Like, oh, gotta hit him. Like, oh, no, one of ours. Sorry. Well,
when he comes back, there's another battle, but this time he picks up the flag and he becomes the flag carrier.
That's like there's another.
But this is the rest of the book. There's not that much left.
In the middle, there's one more fight in the middle where he just like keeps shooting at basically like nothing, and they're like, wow, you sure are crazy. You're such a good soldier, dude.
Well, that was actually kind of true of the Civil War, because they didn't have smokeless powder yet. So like 30 seconds after the beginning of the battle, you couldn't see a damn thing, you know, either on your side or where the rebels were. You were just kind of fire into that cloud of fog, and then that was it. That was the battle.
Yeah, he pulled it off.
So kind of true.
He faked it till he maked it.
He maked it. So, and that's how it ends, right? Thank God. It's over.
No. Well, there's like one more, this like very final battle. He like picks up the flag, a battle standard, and he's like, yay. And then that was a great honor at the time to carry the flag. And regiments would like be so proud when they captured the, you know, the regimental flag of the opposite army. You know, they were like so proud of it. But man, that must have been really fucking stupid, because you're like, you're using at least one hand, if not both, to like carry the flag. And so you're really just like, hey, everybody shoot me. That's like basically what the flag is.
Well, they're not, you know, too far off the times when they had a child with a drum as a part of every battle. So, you know, pros and cons.
Oh, man, you know how fucking annoying a child with a drum is? Everyone shot that kid. Everyone's like, dibs on the kid. And it wasn't like Jeffrey Epstein. They're like, no, I just want to kill that kid.
Way better.
Oh, everyone, thank even the people on the other side, they're like, thank you. Thank you. That kid was Gene Krupa, he was not.
He's been playing Mambo Number 5 for 3 weeks.
He still can't do a buzz roll. He sucks. Get rid of him. Like, what, isn't that like,
why don't
a fucking
you paradiddle that kid?
something rude immense. Okay. So they... so stupid.
How rude.
Okay, is there any more book? I mean, that's really... It's a short book.
It's very short.
With not much... was even less book somehow. Like, it's...
His friend dies in the middle of it, and you're like, oh, yeah, that was the other character.
This is like a Just Add Water book. Like, it's just... there's nothing in it.
Considered an American classic, one of the greatest American novels ever written.
Like much of other mythology, like, ah, it's kind of shitty. The whole point is about, like, the war and, like, glory of war and how shitty war is. And like, but in terms of recounting the plot of the book, this is one of those things that really, it really does torture kids in high school and college. Like, what is the point of making them read this?
It was so boring. I did find an audiobook, but I couldn't listen to it because my mind would just wander after about 60 seconds. So I have to keep going back and like, oh, I go back to the beginning of the chapter. Oh, fuck. And so it actually took twice as long to listen to it as I'm sure it would have to just to read it.
Where did you couldn't find an audiobook, you said?
I know I did. I used an Audible credit because I'm like, oh, fuck, I don't want to read this bullshit.
I listened to a free one online. You know what's like LibriVox or something like that? It's like people who volunteer to read public domain books.
Those are the worst.
It was very hit or miss. So you got some chapters where it's people trying to do their voices and they're doing it pretty good. And other chapters are like, this lady is British. She's like... that's not a bad thing, but like, I don't need the British lady trying to do what she thinks is a Southern accent. And it changed every chapter. It was a different person reading it. It was wild, but it was only 4.5 hours and it was on Spotify. So I couldn't really complain much. And then
I thought it was weird how they're from New York, but everyone still had a Southern accent. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. It's like, maybe where'd you fit?
Maybe at the time everyone spoke that way, I guess. That's what he was going for.
Maybe they're speaking country style.
Must be.
Like, I don't think he's from New York City. He might be from New York State, which was pretty goddamn rural. Even much of New York City was still pretty rural in 1885.
There are Confederate flags all over upstate New York now.
Well, our state is rising again.
But by the end of the book, was it on the side that war is awful? I mean, it's definitely on the side of like war is not glamorous, but it still thinks like it's actually pretty awesome though.
Because he becomes a hero. He like overcome the main character's, you know, character arc is that he's scared and then he learns to be a man. And so it's still like is more towards the side of, you know, this turns boys into men.
Once he reaches the end of the road, you say he's a man.
His regiment was from Motown Philly.
So the book's message, even though it talks kind of about how shitty it was, though it didn't mention the dysentery, that's really how you know it's an anti-war book. But it still is kind of like this, you know, war is good because it makes you strong. It still is kind of saying that.
I think the conflict of the book is not about the war. The conflict is about him becoming a man, as you say, as you know, point out the struggle.
This is Mulan, right?
Yes, we'll make a man of you. Was that one of the songs?
I'll make a man out of you.
You know who did the voice of that guy? It's that guy from he was in like Law and Order, and he was in the new Jurassic Park movies. That Asian guy. It's like what the fuck.
B.D. Wong.
Yes.
Yeah.
He's that guy in Mulan, the old Mulan. The new one, I don't know. They just
BD Wong. Everything BD Wong is in, you know, top notch. He's a champion.
Well, the new Mulan, they just murdered a Uyghur, and then
The new Mulan. I don't think BD Wong was in that, so no fault to him.
No, he dies that one. The Uyghurs didn't, but he dies it. But the conflict is internal. The conflict is like, can Henry find his cojones and fight the war? And he does. The end.
Yeah, I mean, it's a short book, and maybe halfway through, I was like, oh, this is one of those books where it's like, actually, war sucks, and we shouldn't be glorifying this. And you're like, okay, well, that's ahead of its time. And by the end of it, you're like, oh, no. Nope, he didn't think that. It just, it's harder than it makes it, but it makes it even more glorious because it sucks. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a book that dares to ask Edwin Starr's classic question, war, what is it good for? And then answers it.
And is, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Kicking ass. And you're like, oh, thanks. Thanks, Steve. Steve Crane, everybody. But I, my real question is, why the fuck did they make us read this in like high school?
Because it's short and it's very easy.
But like, is it easy though? Because I remember being in a classroom and they're like, what is it? What is the passage about the dead soldier when he sees a dead guy? And he's like, oh, there's fucking ants on his face. Gross. They're going to eat his eyes. I don't want to look at that. I'm running away. I mean, what's the message there? Shame. He ran away. He's cowardice, whatever. But like, really? That's what they think is easy for kids?
I mean, it's easy enough to... It's easy enough that you could, like, come up with something. Maybe it won't be, like, the PhD-level answer, but you could be like, oh, he's realizing that this is serious. It's not just like, you know, this ain't just some show to make a good time, go back home, war hero. Like, war sucks, and, you know, you got to be a real man to get through it. You don't just do it. You know, you could pull something out of your ass. And it's short. What it comes down to.
And it's about a young person is the main character. So if you've got to read it in high school and the main character is also like only like 17 or whatever.
Yeah. And it's about the Civil War. It's a 1-2 punch. You know, you got to learn about that shit also.
It's also...
And we can't make them read fucking Killer Angels because they'll go to sleep.
That's it. Another, imagine you're the teacher of the class. Oh, another period where everybody went to sleep. It's just nap time in high school. All right, children, chapter 3 of The Killer Angels.
It's weird. Everyone's dad showed up to this class, though.
We'll be teaching they this loved in the auditorium with just the lounging chairs, the recliner chairs for the dads. Don't worry, the lawns are fine. The lawns are fine, Dads.
The shag on this carpet is quite robust.
I agree. That's just like that's how they greet the dads. Like, I can't believe this shit. That's like all the dads talk about.
It's not butter.
I hear that. I understand that. Surely our English teachers are not this dumb.
No, I mean it's the same every time.
They clearly used to be.
Every time we read one of these books, it's like kids read in high school. It's like it's either A, too hard for high school kids, or B, it's stupid because you can't force 15-year-olds to read high literature when they don't give a shit, when adults don't give a shit. They read this thing because it's short and you can fuck around with it and say, oh, we got some literary shit out of it. And then you move on and you read something else afterward. Then you read Lord of the Flies and you talk about Satan or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You just turn them out.
I guess.
So you can say you did it.
That's really what it is. This is one of those, as somebody else used to say, there's books or things you can talk about at a cocktail party. You know that thing people do? But this is one of those
so
books.
Many cocktail parties.
Uh-huh. Hold the tail. But yeah, these kind of are... this is just one of those books. It's like, oh, if you are learned, you know this book, because that's what educated people do. They just make references to shit all the time, you know.
I mean, I guess that was what educated people did in this, you know, early 1800s, like when you were a landed gentry and you just went to college because you didn't have to work, and you're like, I've read the classics and I speak Latin and Greek and I talk at cocktail parties.
And there were only 8 new books every year, so
you could read them all.
Like, yeah. There were not, you could easily read all of them.
I read all the books this year again.
Not even one a month.
Everyone
can't even get to the fucking Booker.
You fucking hit your head on the hand passed appetizers, and you go, I'm just like Henry Fleming now. And they go, oh, ha, 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 good one, sir. I get it, and there is an importance to preserve some sort of national canon of books, you know, just like these are the great books of our country and our story.
But throw this one out.
I don't know if this is
get
one
rid of
them.
It. It's just not. It was so boring.
It's also considered a great book for its writing style. And I keep seeing this. I looked up several places, like, why is this book popular? They say, oh, it's use of irony. I didn't hear one reference to Alanis Morissette. I don't know what this has to do with being ironic.
That's the irony.
That is irony. You know what? I don't know what irony is. I realize
irony
as I get older.
Irony is them saying that there's irony, but there is no irony, I think.
It's irony deficient.
This book is anemic.
But it's an ironic tone. Like, was it? Was it ironic? I mean...
Yeah, I don't know. It was like, maybe like... I don't know how to describe this as ironic.
And there were some phrases that I couldn't tell if they were really well-written or terribly written. One that jumps to mind right away is, like, his tongue was dead in the tomb of his mouth. That sounds like some Eye of Argon shit. That's terrible. That was a lie in the book.
You're like, his tongue was dead, bustily.
Is that really great? I don't know. I don't know if it is.
It's the uncanny valley.
It's... I did not enjoy reading it. I didn't enjoy it. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I don't think this is what you give kids to read about. You could find any of those themes, any of those messages, you could find a book that they could actually get it out of. Because this book, they're just going to struggle with the language, or they're going to get really hung up on the ejaculating theirs or the one in the book, and they're not going to read anymore. So, bad choice, teachers.
I mean, I guess in like the 1950s, there weren't like that many other choices, but there are now. So many choices. Or just ask ChatGPT to write anything. Anything. And just give to the kids and say, this is The Red Badge of Courage by Stephen Crane. And just, you know what? Yes, it's only 12 pages. Thank God. Thank me later. You know?
Yeah, because everybody read it in high school and they'll be like, yeah, I think I read that once. And they won't know they didn't read the real one.
I mean, I mostly, honestly, the whole time I was picturing the Wishbone episode I watched of this as a kid. You remember Wishbone? There's a fucking Wishbone episode of Red Badge of Courage.
That's okay. All right.
Where the dog is like, no, keep them in chains. And I'm like, no, bad Wishbone.
Is Wishbone, who does Wishbone portray in the story?
I think he plays Henry Fleming.
Oh, that's a bold choice.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, the Wishbone Red Badge of Courage movie. I'm going to watch it later. It's 11 minutes long. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
is on the episode.
It wasn't the worst.
A terrified terrier. He plays Henry Fleming.
I would rather watch that than read this. I didn't hate this, but I didn't really like it, and I'm glad I never have to read it again.
This is the third time I've read this book in my life.
Do you retain any of it each time?
Because what is there to retain? That he ran away and then he's like, I'm going to come back this time and mean it. It's like people on their New Year's resolutions. He's just like, I mean it this time. And that's it. That's the book. It's a guy on January 3rd. That's fine. I mean, what is there to retain? I mean, maybe
that you.
I am sure, as you said earlier, like it's not the PhD analysis. If there's anything I've learned on this podcast, I am only capable of the associate's degree dropout analysis. So I know I missed it. I know I did a terrible job.
The beauty school dropouts level analysis.
I can barely sweep the floors in there of the hair trimmings. But like, this is if I need a Sherpa to understand this book, what is the point of that exercise? That's where I get stuck.
I mean, I think we understood it. Maybe we didn't get all the, maybe some random symbolism or some shit.
There's tons of Christian symbolism in there.
We get it. We didn't miss the point. It was pretty straightforward. It was boring. I'm not a fan of war books in general, but definitely not Civil War books. I'm not a dad yet. I just don't care. So that didn't help. But this was definitely even more boring than usual.
I mean, I knew I wasn't going to like it, and I wasn't disappointed. So
maybe that's irony.
Yeah. It was just very boring. Boring. So don't read it. There must be a good Civil War book. At least one has to exist.
I'm sure there is.
Maybe we should find, what was that book? That was like The Dog in the World Trade Center. It's like the time traveling
dog. Oh, yes.
A World Civil War book.
I want to see his retelling of Appomattox.
Yeah, Ranger in Time, The Battle of Antietam. But it's for dogs, and treat them. The Battle of Bull, Who Wants to Go on a Run?
I'd rather read that.
That would be, you know what? That's it. Next week. It's like I said, 11 minutes to read it, and it'll be way more fun than this shit.
No, it'll still suck. It'll still be so stupid.
But it'll be a fucking dog. It'll be so much better. He carries the flag with his mouth.
He fetches the flag.
All right, let me look up Ranger in Time. Ranger. I think that's what it's called. Ranger in Time. Civil War. What do they have? Oh my God. Ranger in Time number 3. Long Road to Freedom.
Oh no.
It's about the Underground Railroad. Okay. Not exactly the same, but there is a Ranger in Time book about the Underground Railroad.
It's not the worst thing I'd read, probably.
There's probably a fucking Magic Treehouse book. You know, it's like Midnight at Manassas, you know, whatever. Did you read those books?
Magic Treehouse? It sounds familiar, but no, I don't think so.
Oh, there's like 60 of them. They came out and then they're still coming out. They started in the 90s. Where everything was an alliterative title that featured a time of day. So it was like Dawn of the Dolphins, Dinner with Dinosaurs. And it's like the kids go into Magic Treehouse and they magically go some other place in time. My kid's reading them now, so I see them all the time. And I read a few as a kid. All right, so don't read that book, but tell us what you thought.
Send us an email to drunkguysbookclub@gmail.com.
Follow us, support the podcast by going to patreon.com, leaving us a review, or sending a comment or message about what you thought.
Or look us up on the internet. Tell us what you find. We've lost it.
Or check out the Hopped Up Network, a network of independent beer podcasters. And thanks for listening.